Hey everybody, welcome to the Rogue Rebels podcast, and I am here, a lone Rogue Rebel, to talk Jedi Fallen Order because Lizzie got frustrated with the video game. But it's okay, because I'm not going to talk about it alone. I have very good friends of mine, Frank and Bianca from Achto Saber Guild.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
How are you guys? It hasn't been that long, actually.
Yeah, it hasn't that long.
Yeah, we've been quarantine buddies every now and then, just calling ourselves to, you know, talk about things like costuming and random books and stuff
or
like that.
Home renovation TikToks.
That's right. Yeah, that happened at my house, and now I have new lights in the wall.
That happens.
Anyway, also I have Sebastian LaFaire, who is a brand new Saber Guild member.
Hello, hello.
Congratulations, Sebastian.
Thank you very much.
Do you remember your SG number?
SG3. Nope. What is it? Nope, 832.
Oh, I was going to say, I know it ain't 3, but okay.
There's a 3 in it. I just forgot.
That's good.
Yeah, I forgot where the 3 was.
Right on. I brought Saber people to a Jedi Fallen Order podcast, not because they're awesome at video games and stuff, or I am, but because, like, we like lightsabers, and this game involves lightsabers. So it's an excuse to dive into lightsaber talk, and nobody will get angry or upset that I'm talking about too many lightsabers in this game. So ha.
Lightsaber right. Customization. Oh my god.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I spent a lot of time doing that.
Sebastian, you also have your own saber services.
Yes, I do. Starlight Saber Services. It's my little hobby side business where I take and I install lightsabers for people in Saber Guild or just collectors.
It's true. He did my Voss Saber, so I got, like, super sound upgrades, which is why my Voss Saber sounds awesome now. And I have, like, a new, like, dark saber setting where the light is white, and it sounds awesomeness.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate with some of the people that I know. I actually found a sound designer who is based out of Florida who mixes live bands and stuff, and I got in with him, and he makes some really, really great sound fonts for all of the lightsabers and stuff, so he just knocked it out of the park. I just threw it all together.
It sounds awesome. I'm happy with my saber, and I look forward to upgrading my next saber. All right, just real quick, the business. You can check us out on theroguerebels.com. You can like our Facebook page. Hit us at Instagram, at theroguerebels. And I am on Twitter, at salamimusic. And that's all. Also, if you have lightsabers and want them worked on, go to Star Lightsaber Services.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Frank, you're just awesome.
Yeah, I am on social media, but just not actively. But I do have a blue check mark.
On Twitter.
And Bianca is actually active on Twitter.
And works in social media by day.
It's good times. Like, do you want people find... That's always the question. Like, hey, do you want people finding you? If so, where?
I don't mind people finding me. I have a common name. So Bianca Hernandez on Instagram, because I got that one, but book hoarding pretty much everywhere else. If you want to see... Mostly historical costumes, to be honest, and literary memes.
Literary memes?
Yeah.
Like, I never thought about them like that, but you're right.
It's true.
Okay. Literary memes aside, Jedi Fallen Order time. I'm going to say, I tried to organize these little notes so that we could, like, talk about the game for people that didn't play the game. And then we can, like, dive into the story later, so everybody can jump out if they haven't played the game or don't want to get spoiled. So, a game came out, like, a year ago.
Only back in November.
Yeah, it was, like, back in November. I don't know
about it feels you. Like 3 years since then, to be honest.
It feels like I spent a lot of time with it. But it took a while to get there, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, it was, like, so glitchy at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
Like...
We've talked to you about this before. Like, you've had terrible glitches, and we had no problems at all. We had a digital version of the game, and we're running it on just my old PS4, not like a PS4 Pro or anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's, like, pop-in and stuff, like, every once in a while, but, like, nothing bad. Like, it's just a pretty video game on our side.
Yeah, Lizzie got frustrated with the game and stopped playing because she died in a cutscene.
This is a good story. You need to really explain, though, what went down.
At the very beginning of the game, there's, like, a part of the game where you're, like, on a train, and your character has like a cutscene, and they go like, and it's literally like a cutscene, but you have control over your character, so you like walk through the cutscene. But there's no enemies. There's no like, you're literally walking from one end of the virtual room or whatever I imagine to the other end, and then the scene is over. So she died in the scene because like she walked through the floor and the floor disappeared and she just kept falling forever, only to respawn and fall forever through the floor for like a good 45 minutes.
This is maybe 15 minutes into the game.
Yeah, this is like, yeah.
Yeah, not even far at all.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So she got mad and she hasn't picked it up since. Even though I'm like, look at this awesome new trailer and there's new stuff. And look, it's like new clothes for Cal. And then she's like, that looks awesome, but I'm mad at that game. So I think she's like, she just won't play it on principle now. So if you have any, you know, anger towards her not playing the video game, hit them up at Star Wars Geek Girl.
Oh, wow. Got him. I don't blame her, though, for, like, that's hard to get over and get through. I had never played a PS4 game or, like, any kind of, like, console-y game until this game, to give you an idea of how much of a cluster it was for me to play. So this is all a brand new world to me, but it was really, like, when I would get frustrated with different parts of the game, like, I would just pass off to Frank and been like, you know what, I can't with this right now. And, like, it was actually great to have a partner kind of deal with that. When I'd be like, I'm over the spiders. I'm tired of spiders jumping at me. I don't want this anymore. Take it.
I really enjoyed it. So the glitch that Lizzie ran into is because when you die, you immediately respawn right back at, like, when you fall to your death, you immediately respawn right back at, like, the cliff's edge. So you can try the jump again.
Right.
And it sucks because she got in the death loop. But, like, generally speaking, I love it. We've been playing The Witcher 3 a lot, and, like, when I accidentally fall to my death, and, like, I have to wait a 20-minute load screen, and then I'm back in the middle of fucking nowhere, and I gotta get back to where I am, it's so annoying. But here, it's just like, nope, I fucked up my parkour. But, like, now, like, I'm just right back at it, and I can try again. I love that.
Yeah.
That's when it doesn't cause a glitch death loop.
Yeah.
No, it is good. She's mad, but I had a good lot of fun watching her for 40 minutes. Fall to her death, and I'm like, dude, this is not even a part of the game.
My biggest frustrations that I had were a lot of I'm playing on a PC, and I've played video games throughout most of my life, so I had a lot of just like generic kind of control issues, which I found pretty funny, well, surprising actually. Like I was just getting like frame rate stutters and such. And like those, but overall, I kind of had a middle of the ground route between a completely bugged death loop and a completely clean experience.
So I played through to like maybe Dathomir before like all of a sudden, like boom, glitches were gone. Like whatever update hit at that moment, like my game was perfect from then on. But you know, the hey, what's up?
Are you guys talking games?
Yeah, we're talking like video games that you don't want to play because you fell and died for 40 minutes one time and it was funny.
In a cutscene.
That was the funny part.
I needed to see the master. He wasn't there.
She's still upset.
Yeah, she's like, and it's like this cutscene where you're like, he's supposed to have a vision of his master, and you can hear the voice, but like he didn't load, so he's not even there.
I didn't know what was supposed to happen. I was just there, sitting there. And
she's
like,
what's happening? And I'm dying, and I'm like, this is different than when that happened to me. So yeah, that was good stuff. But for me, it was like, yeah. For me, I would get frustrated at the, there's a lot of parts where you, like, slide, like, if you're on, what is it?
It's not the sliding.
That's the other planet.
The slides.
You're on the planet with the ice slides? It wouldn't load. So I would, like, slide halfway and then, like, fall through the ground.
Oh!
And then, like, it would move me back to the beginning of the slide and it still wouldn't load. So it would take me, like, 30 minutes to get through the slide till the whole slide loaded.
Oh my god.
The audio? Oh yeah.
Like be out of sync.
So then the audio would like synced badly. So like the cutscene would start and then the audio would stutter, but the cutscene would keep going. So I'd get out of the cutscene and the people would still be talking from the cutscene. That was pretty bad.
Y'all had a bad experience.
Yeah. And then like enemies wouldn't load, but then all of a sudden they would like finally load and be there and kill me and I'd be surrounded. Because I would be like, hey, look at this empty room. I'm just going to, like, walk in here. And like, oh, God, there's 12 stormtroopers. Like, but if they would have loaded normally, I would have, like, seen the two on the way in and deflected some shots. And you know. So it was really bad, and it was I was on same as you on a PS4. I have like the Battlefront 2 PS4. No, Battlefront 1 PS4. My bad.
Mm. Oh wow.
So it's like the old PS4. It's not a Pro or anything, but yeah, that was iffy.
I'm sorry you had those problems. We literally had like no issues.
That's awesome.
So that was great for us. It was just like, I don't know, I agree with Frank that like Insta reload is really good. Like, but you'd get in those death loops, like with the slides. And like, for me, it was just like, cause it would, if you slid off the slide and off a cliff, it would just reload you on the slide a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm just like, well, the whole reason I died is because I suck at the slide, and like it wouldn't give me enough time to kind of recover, and so I'd get in these like loops where I would just like would be laughing at how stupid it was that I died, and then like I wouldn't have recovered enough by the time that like I respawned to like get it together and not die again. So it was just like kind of like a snowballing of like laughing at how stupid like that whole scenario was for me. And I would just be like screaming at the like screen, and I'm sure our neighbors thought I was dying because I was just like, stop respawning.
The respawn is shockingly fast. It's kind of great, but also it's just like when you screw up and you go flying off one of those slides, like, before you even realize, like, what has happened, like, you're back on the slide moving, and you're like, dang!
Yeah.
And the controls on the slides are just so loose and terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little... my least favorite thing is having to press a button to auto, or to climb on stuff that...
Oh, yeah.
That is not common in a lot of these kind of games, like Uncharted and a bunch of things. So I would get into those death loops because I would forget to press a button. I would just watch Cal, like, you know, full speed, just smack against the stone wall and just immediately fall into the abyss. And I'm like, wait, what happened?
And there's like a little, it gives you a half a second to where you think it did it.
Yes.
It's like press L2. And I'm like, awesome, I'm on the wall. Oh, press L2. Oh, I missed it.
Today, I just booted up New Game Plus just to play around a little bit, refresh my memory, because it's been a minute, and I was like, I'm pressing L2, and Bianca's like, that's R2, you jackass. And I was like, oh, because I just kept like going and then falling to my death in the tutorial, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You take a break from this game, and it's real hard to find out where you are again.
Once I got good at it, it was like super cool and fun, and I love how interesting the combat is. And it's not just like mash, 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 I win. Mash, 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 I win. Because like a lot of other lightsaber games, not throwing any shade at other lightsaber games, but a lot of other lightsaber games, is basically like just mash the button and you'll kill everybody, or use the force, or shoot lightning at everybody's faces. You know, whatever. You win.
Starkiller.
But I really like that this game is like interesting, and you have to block and you have to dodge, and some things are immune to blocking and some things you can't dodge, and some things, like, it's a real like paper rock scissors kind of like system. But
yeah,
it's like really interesting, and it doesn't get boring
because it has a lot of vibes from Dark Souls and Sekiro and those kind of games. It's a lot more accessible than those, because those are just masochistically punishing. But like, as far as dodging and parrying and all the timing stuff goes, those are really core gameplay elements for those kind of games.
That's cool.
I feel like what really sold it was Cal being so well articulated, and like the dude who played Cal, like, clearly has that background of doing all of like this really cool stuff, and like it shows because of how well articulated all those movements are. Because like, you could have sick movements, but like if the like person doing the mocap, like, it's not smooth, like you can tell that doesn't have the experience. Like like we know from Saber Guild, right? Like, we can tell like somebody who's never blocked a thing versus somebody who's done a few fights, right?
Right.
And I feel like that's what I feel with this game, where it's really clear to me that the dude who played Cal, like, and they've done a couple of, like, little things, and he does have a background, but it's just so, it looks so sick, because it looks right, and it feels right when he's doing those things. And it's just fun, like, especially not only just, like, the fighting, but also when he would, they have the really cool things where he's going through those really small spaces, and they have him, like, having to like squeeze through and like move through and then have BD on his back. And like, it just works. Like, it just, it doesn't look weird. And like, I don't know. It just, the smoothness of that really sold for me.
There's no like clipping animation or anything there. It's really cool. I can't remember which documentary or interview it was with Cameron Monaghan, the guy that plays Cal. But like, he, I guess, had a background in WMA, like XMA, like tricking elements of like karate tournaments and stuff. So like, he had like, he was able to just pull out a really cool kata with a kendo stick as part of his like audition, hit a backflip and be like, yeah, we're cool. And that, I think, really does like benefit that character a lot. Even though his face still creeps me out because he's always going to be the Joker from Gotham to me, but like, he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, you know, I don't like watch non-Star Wars stuff, so like, everybody's like, oh, what's that kid from? Like, yeah, whatever. And I think that interview was on the Star Wars show, which didn't you guys just win a thing?
Webby? Yeah, we won a couple of Webbies. We got an Emmy nomination.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Go subscribe to it and like it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Sal is a better hype man than you are for sure. Hey,
I'm not here to pimp my time at IGN covering video games for a living, or my time on the Star Wars show and how perfect I am for this podcast. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just here to talk about the game.
And lightsabers.
And lightsabers.
So the updates, like, there's like a new little like challenge mode. And you like go through these little waves of enemies. This game is hard.
This game's hard.
Yes.
The challenge mode, I kind of like that you can do it from any meditation point.
Yeah.
So you can pick up any game, save, new game plus, whatever, and you can do that. And that's cool. I love that this game has a story difficulty setting, because I'm not here for the Dark Souls challenge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you want to go easy, you can make it through enough of the challenges and get enough of the little check marks that you can unlock the new BD skins without being insane. But it has a beat the challenge without taking any damage like check mark for like the crazy elitist like completest guys. So I think it's wonderful that like it's available for like the really hardcore or the casual people here for just like the Star Wars narrative.
Right. I was having fun with it. I think I've done like half of them. None of them I have done the like, don't get touched.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, I don't care what difficulty it's on. I don't think that's a possibility. I almost got the like, don't heal, but I'm on the regular like difficulty. I should have just switched it to easy.
Yeah.
And I could probably do that one, no problem.
Yeah.
But it's fun and it's like super interesting. And once again, I love the combat and I love the animation. So like, I really like, ooh, I just like duck backwards and kind of dodge that thing and whabap sidekick to like killing you. I love those little like moves that they do. It's like really cool.
The mocap work they did on this game is phenomenal, and just the time they thought through like the choreography and the moves, and so how the animations link and stuff are just great.
Yeah, it's dope. Okay, lightsabers.
Lightsabers.
The lightsaber, like, on the cover when they first, like, introduced the game and were like, check out this, like, broken, cool-looking, like, lightsaber with, like, these two little, like, hilt pieces that extend up past the blade. I don't know. I just thought it looked cool.
I love any new lightsaber shit because I feel like it's really easy for people to get stuck in, like, well, like, these are the kind of, like, the go-to kind of, like, Republic-era sabers, and then we have a few outliers now, and I'm like, nah, like, lightsabers are always going to be weird and unique and like kind of funky, and we gotta keep like think outside of the Republic era stuff. And like, one of the things that I loved about Galaxy's Edge was that you had these different sets of sabers, right? Like, the parts to make like elemental and like all these cool like other things that were not just the standard Republic good guy bad guy. And what I super loved about this was that you had X amount of new saber styles, and then also it incorporated those Galaxy Edge designs too.
Yeah, that was like 100%. The funnest part of it, especially if you have been to Galaxy's Edge and or have your own lightsaber, because then you can literally just be like, I'm building my own thing and it's in the video game now, but I have it under my bed for real though. Like I did.
I was going to ask if you did that, Sal.
I literally build a thing, but you also live in this, like, weird world of, like, it's a great and it's amazing, but also there's, like, a tiny little disappointment because the Rancor tooth isn't there. Because once you get the double saber, they connect, and you never have a bottom anyway. But, like, I built my whole saber except for the bottom. And then I built Axel's, and then I built Lizzie's, and I got all the pieces. I actually, like, 100% trophied this game. Because that's how awesome I am at being a Jedi. And I got all the pieces, and I got all the ponchos, and it was a lot of fun. I like the ponchos. I like the, like, aesthetic changes. I just feel like I could use, like, a little more. Or give me, like, some that look, like, a little bit different. Like, give me a cape-looking one. Give me, like, a, you know.
Yeah.
Frank wanted more of the flight suits.
Yeah, there was one or two of those. And there was, like, a flight suit that was, like, orange style. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much, the aesthetics are all just skins in this game.
Yeah.
Which is much, why yeah. I was really stoked when they gave us access to a whole new custom armor set in the DLC, or the kind of free expansion that just came out.
Right.
So when you do the new game plus mode, you have, like, a costume that's, like, a character wears it in a cutscene, but now, like, you can wear it and play it in the game kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, that's super cool. You get a whole new look, and now that I was, like, actually paying attention to the costume, I was like, oh, I wonder if that matches Saber Guild standards for, like, military Sith. Like, that costume's sick.
I mean, it's got, like, armor pieces, hip pad. Everything else looks pretty, like, normal, except it looks like it's a jumpsuit more than the, like, because Saber Guild wants to be, like, hey, like, have your, like, officer jacket with armor on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is more like a jumpsuit with the armor on it, but, you know.
Yeah. Like, close. That's the thing. Like, the military says is, like, the only kind of Saber Guild option that I'm aware of that is just, like,
yeah,
just armor. Like, there's not, like, it has to be this specific armor. It's just, like, you just have some cool armor. So that's what I feel like the closest to this costume would qualify
as.
But
you can do, like, custom, because we have, like, Old Republic, but it's very much, like, no, Old Republic from that game, Old Republic.
Yeah.
You know, the Sith Acolyte or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, like, this new costume is totally, like, hey, this is clearly, like, bits and pieces of armor that, like, are from, like, our Stormtrooper models and stuff that we just kind of threw on a dude, but it looks sick. That's all that matters.
It looks sick, but also, like, looking at logistically, you're like, oh, this would be a uniform for Inquisitors because you can move in it. It still guards the important bits, but you can really move in that because there's no, like, things blocking your, like, your joints that need to be in motion for that heavy combat.
Yeah.
I also love that there's thigh armor that blocks, like, R3 and 4 from the Sabriel cuts.
As one of the few Saber Guild members that wears armor, I'm all about this. And I actually popped on Kanan not too long ago, but season 1 style.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget how restrictive it is in my, like, right arm stuff.
Because
it's, like, giant shell, but it just looks awesome. So, you know, make it work. Make it work.
Make it work.
All right. Do you guys want to move on to, like, everything and story stuff and everybody who hadn't played the game and doesn't want to get ruined of the story, get out?
Yeah, get out. We want to talk. I want to talk about Dathomir.
Get out. Come back later. Dathomir's
out. So that's what a really interesting thing about the game is you can kind of sort of pick your planetary order a little bit. You don't have to necessarily go in a certain order. So you can jump to Dathomir as, like, the first planet you go to if you want to.
Which I did. And I was surprised that you could do that, because I was expecting more of a linear structure like an Uncharted game, because it borrows, like, a lot of thematically it borrows a lot from that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I went right to Dathomir, and I got my tushy kicked a lot.
I think that's what we did, too, right?
Yeah, I think we're like, we'll wait, and then we're like, no, let's just go, let's go. We can't knock out Dathomir.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's Dathomir.
Yeah, so I played a demo of it before it came out, and they were like, yeah, you can do the first planet of the game, or you can do Dathomir. And I was like, I'm going to do Dathomir. And then I was like, what do I do? And the guy's like, I mean, you just, whatever.
Maybe, like, try not around. Dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
But, like, yeah, that's how we found the staff, like, right off. So I think we spent, like, maybe an hour of the game before getting the double-bladed lightsaber.
Yeah, and then you were thrilled for a staff.
Oh,
like, you were just, like,
so there.
Over the moon for the staff, which is great.
The staff is fun, But I'm all about once you can break it into.
Yes.
Like, break it into the double. And I wish there was more than one double combo, but it's still really cool. The double combo is dope.
I mean, maybe in future Fallen Order games, because that's a whole thing.
You're right. Episode 2, Revenge of the Cal.
There you go.
The way the title works, I feel like the game could be, like, not episodic, but more like an anthology.
Okay.
Because, like, it's called Star Wars : Jedi.
Oh, right.
Or Star Wars Jedi : blank. So, like, Star Wars Jedi, you could do anything. You could jump all across the time thing. So, like, the next game could be, was it High Republic?
High Republic.
The High Republic tie-in game.
You want to talk about armor.
Yeah,
you
want to talk about armor and cool
and weird sabers, yeah.
Leather saber holders and stuff.
Oh, yes, all those crossguards. But going to Dathomir, I think, like, for so many of us, like, Dathomir is a sick place in EU Legends, and then getting it, we've gotten tastes of it in new canon, but getting to go again and, like, go explore, that is super sick, and I really enjoyed, like, just, like, literally, like, on the ground getting to explore that lore, because, like, we talked about the Fallen Jedi there and, like, all the lore that's around there and how that's not super vital to, like, the main story of this game. It's just kind of a cool, like, separate, like, sick, like, this is another space where, like, the Force is used and these other, like, politics that have gone on because of, like, all of these other things happening in the galaxy. And I super loved Maren, like,
yeah,
I want her for. I want to make a Maren. I love her. She's so good.
Yeah, that's. She's like one of the coolest characters, and I love that she's like. I love like Night Sister magic, and just like Dathomir in general is like one of my favorite planets, just because it's like, hey, that's where like Voss and Ventress had good times, and Voss trained in Night Sister stuff too. So what? Because he's gangster and he does everything. But that's just me, and like. The planet just looks so cool. Like, you're right. Like, getting, like, they added a photo mode. So, like, my second playthrough, all I was doing was, like, running around and taking pictures. And, like, hey, here's the background. And this, now you can, in, like, photo mode, you can crop Cal out. And, like, I can just have a really cool background. Like, I don't know if I ever had a really cool Voss that I could post up in that background, maybe. So, like, really cool things like that I love about, and not just Dathomir, like, all the planets look dope. Like, there are so many, like, really cool vistas. Like, Zepho's, like, the first planet. That it's, like, a like, constant beautiful sunset in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on these, like, crazy, like, cracked cliffs with giant canyons.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the, like, other planet that's, like, Bogano or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, like, cold mountains. But, like, there are so many places where you can just go up to, you know, the edge of a cliff or something, and, like, pan the camera around and be like, this is amazing.
Dude, yeah. Like, even some of the, like, first shots of the game where, like, they're on the planet at the shipyard planet.
Braca.
And, like, you can just see these ships in the distance, and it's so sick. And, like, yeah, when you go to the other planets and you just, like, kind of just, like, look over as you're, like, trying to go, like, around a corner sometimes. And you're just like, this is so well designed. It's just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
I think Respawn did a great job making these locations actually feel, like, lived in. Because that's something that's always been lacking for me, just watching, like, the movies and Clone Wars and all the TV series and such, is that, like, you know, you only get, like, quick glimpses of the marketplaces of this and such and yada yada yada, but like when you're actually there and you can, you know, run up to the wall and like look at all of the etchings on it or look down on the vistas and stuff like that, or get jumped by a spider because that's what actually lives in the forest, like it's really cool to see, like, oh, this is real, this is a real Star Wars location.
I love the, like, there's like a lot of attention to detail, like you say, that's super awesome and fun, but even in like the exploration stuff in general, like, this has so much more than, like, any Star Wars game that I can really remember. You know what I mean? Like,
it's been a while. Even if I think to other Star Wars games,
like, the levels are pretty set. It's point A to point B. You go and you kill everybody on the way. There's not a whole lot to do. Like, I run around Maz's castle in Battlefront 2, but is that really, like, what, you know, like, there's not a whole lot to do. I run around and I look at things. Other than shooting people and getting shot.
So I love the exploration and how like big and crazy all the planets are, but God, I want some fast travel.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Because like when I'm trying to like 100% and find like that one like place I haven't seen yet or whatever, but it's in like the deepest core of a planet, you're just like, oh, it takes me 45 minutes from landing my ship to just get into the general area.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I did that on, I think, Bogano. Like, there's the, like, second tomb underneath. And then it was, like, I was going back through everything. It's like, oh, you missed, like, one thing down there. And then it took me, like, 45 minutes to figure out how to even get back down there. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know. Quick travel points would be so wonderful. Especially because we recently, like, a little while ago, when all the new updates dropped, I was like, hey, I'll boot it up and, like, see where we are. And we were in the middle of, like, the wreckage of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know how to get back to my ship.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get to the next thing I'm going to. Like, where am I? What's going on? Why am I here? Damn.
Yeah, even just getting back to your ship, right? Like, when you're like, damn, I'm too far. Like, can you guys come pick me up? Because, like, is that an option? Just come pick me up.
I've got lost more than a few times trying to get back to my ship, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, not convenient.
Which isn't to say it isn't cool, like we were saying, like how there are these really open worlds that you can just explore, which I think also, especially right now, like that's the kind of game that I've really wanted to play while like we're in shelter in place and everything, like these games that I can just get lost in and not have to be on like a quest, if you will. And I just think it's really cool because you could get like just go wander and just try to get be like, well, like I know I could go back to this planet and like finish this point of the story, but I can just keep exploring this planet that I'm on and try to get like all the skins that I want and like just keep like looking for like cool forest memories and all that. So like it is cool, but yeah, you definitely like after like four floors, you're like, where the hell am I?
Yeah, it like it's kind of like a, I won't say it's like a give take because that's like, I feel like that's a thing that you do, like, every other game has that. I think the only thing that I've played that's, like, even close to this is probably, like, Tomb Raider or something like that. That they do that. Hey, if you stop at a campfire, you can just warp over to the other camp and go get the thing you wanted to look for now that you have the pickaxe or whatever. But I think, like, a lot of these, like, the worlds and the, like, the backgrounds and all this stuff, I think they become a lot more memorable to me because I went through there five times because I had to go back to the planet. You know what I mean? Like, now you're able to appreciate it and see that detail, whereas if you were fast traveling, you might not remember a lot of that stuff.
True, you know? True, true.
It's like a weird, like, give and take, and I don't want to say it's like, it definitely makes things longer and less convenient, but, like, I think forcing me to walk around that planet and enjoy those things, like, also gives me the sense of greater appreciation at all the work that was put in there, you know?
It's also a lesson in patience, which is good for a game titled Star Wars Jedi.
Did you guys read the Ouroboros at the loading screens?
Oh, no.
No.
So
we're not that level.
When you turn it on, it says, like, serenity, and then it says, like, peace and balance when it's loading.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know. I turned the game on, like, 50,000 times. Eventually, I read it. So, yeah, that's, like, the locations of the game are dope. Every planet is, like, different and cool-looking, and all the lighting is, like, legit set up so that everything looks awesome. Like, when you're standing at a place, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to, like, take my PlayStation 4 photos here or whatever.
They do a really good job of establishing that even in the tutorial at the beginning of the game, where, like, you're walking, and they're like, oh, hey, it's a droid control ship. Isn't that sick? And you're like, it is sick. I am just going to stand here and look at this.
Yeah. Like, there's that one shot that they give you where you're like the whole beginning, you're like chasing the other dude to do whatever you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And there's one part where you climb up a rope as they're doing the cutter on the other Star Destroyer in the distant background. Mm-hmm. So the rope forces you for like a good 30 seconds to go up while it gives you, like, this stunning vista of the background, and there's, like, AT-ATs over there, and then, like, the big ship getting worked on, and some other ships. Like, so they, like, make a point to, like, give you these, like, beautiful scenes.
Yeah, I love that, though. Yeah. But I want to talk about some of the characters, because we talked a little about Maren, who is, amazing. But we got to talk about the second sister.
Yeah. She's dope.
Trilla.
Okay, there we go. That's what her real name is.
Trilla Siduri.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
We already said we're in the spoiler section. Yeah. Come on.
We're in the spoiler section. We're good. Relax, Frank. Relax.
Not, or as the internet calls her, not Barisafi.
Not Baris.
Not Barisafi.
Dude, I'm not even, yeah. There was so much stuff going on and so many back and forths between me and other people that were like, dude, it's like, it could be. And I'm like, I know it could be, but I don't know. It might not be.
Yeah. Just don't. But it might. It might not be.
Saying, like, this is what it's going to be. And this is what it's like, I don't know. I mean, that's not really a thing yet. Like, but I've been through that thing so many times. Like, I was there in Rebels when they were like, it might be her.
Yeah, it's so funny.
She's also kind of green.
Completely went off my head.
I mean, you're right. She is a little green.
I like that they were like, we're going to create our own characters and tell our own stories. I love it so much. It expands the universe versus, oh my god, everybody is secretly this person that you already know. Always kind of like shrinks the universe to me.
But I completely agree. I like that sometimes, but also like I like it just when it happens, and I don't. I try to make it a point of not being the person who's like, is that Rey's mom? At everybody who comes through, you know. And also, I was, you know, like, not to be that guy, but I was that dude back in, you know, Son of Dathomir 2014, when Rook Cast came on the scene, and I was like, maybe that's Sabine's mom. So, you know, I've been on both sides, but I'm just saying, like, I like to see these things evolve and let them have their own life, or to be surprised when and if a cool connection comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
The casting was, like, amazing. Like most of these, like, I mean, I guess we've only have one to compare it to, and it's Battlefront 2. Where, like, they did a really good job with the casting. Like, the characters were really interesting. Iden Versio was dope.
Yes.
You know? And now the trash truck is here. So if you hear that, they're taking my trash. Let it go. It happens. But, like, the Seer Junda was, like, super, super dope.
Mm-hmm.
I really love, like, I like her character, but I also like how she was played. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I loved that. So, you know, for people who hopefully finish the game, you're here. If you're not and you just want the spoilers, Seer is like...
You were warned.
Yeah, is the former master of the Second Sister. And, like, watching that drama come out is super good. And, like, Frank has, like, recently restarted the game and, like... There's so much, like, after you finish and you understand where that's going. Like, there's shots at the start where, like, Seer's shooting at the Second Sister, and you're like, damn, that's f***ed up now that I know. Like, that's, like, an extra layer. And, like, I just think it was so well plotted out for the reveal and for that story to keep developing. And I just, again, like, having Jedi that are flawed is super important and, like...
Love
digging
that.
Into that and making it so it's like not this dichotomy of like everyone's just pure good or pure evil, and like understanding how the Second Sister really was born and her inner conflict is just so good.
But it's like it makes like the characters have depth, and like they did a really good job with the story, and like I'm gonna go back to Battlefront 2 and say like some of the greatest Luke Skywalker moments ever was in a video game and not in a movie. You know,
and
I mean?
Not even
like,
Mark Hamill.
I didn't even think about that. But it's like, it's crazy, dude. Like, they did, like, some really cool stuff. And then at the same time, they were able to give you a few little things. Like, I always talk about Saw Gerrera is, like, the gift that keeps on giving.
Truly.
Every time Saw pops up, I'm like, oh, hell yeah! You know? So he comes in, he's like, who are you? So, like... That was dope. And then they got Forrest Whitaker to come do it. But what I heard was that the actor who played Saw Gerrera in the Clone Wars... Oh, now I feel bad because I forgot his name. That sucks.
Anyway, look it up. Look it up. Look it up.
The voice actor for the Clone Wars... I heard that he did the mocap for all of the Saw Gerrera stuff, and originally he did the voice until they got Forrest Whitaker to, like, come and do it. But,
I mean,
like, the mocap is still him.
That's still... I think that's becoming a Star Wars trade-off, right? Because we have that with Solo and, like, Sam Witwer doing the voice for Maul,
just,
right?
So, like... in a Maul, yeah.
It's kind of, like, a bummer, but also kind of, like... if we can have, like, then I feel like less people feel left out, if you will, of the canon of a character.
Right, right. Andrew Cascino. His name is Andrew Cascino. I forgot. But yeah, he's like, I loved, like, Saw in the Clone Wars. Like, mm-hmm. and seeing him, like, over here in this place that puts him, like, a little more towards those things. And then he even gets, like, a really cool speech. Mm-hmm. Like, he has that whole, like, Kashyyyk is not yet lost! And you're like, dope.
Or at least and then he's gone the next time you go.
Yeah, and then you go yeah. back and they're like, he left Kashyyyk.
Because it was lost.
yeah.
yeah like, we're really still here. We're not going to leave. Tarful's
here. The game doesn't...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, sorry, the game does a really good job of balancing the planetary stories and, like, the overall arc of, like, this quest that you're on, which is, like, that's cool, but it's so awesome that, like, Dathomir has such an amazing story that, like, you have to go back to the planet a couple times to even experience all of it.
And that you get dropped on Kashyyyk in the middle of, like, warfare stuff happening, and, like, when you're on different planets, like, it just feels so real and rich, because it's, like, that's how you would be if you were just a person traversing the galaxy. Every planet's going to have a different range of impact from the Empire, right? Like, every place is going to have a different level of insurgency happening against the Empire, and, like, getting to experience that and see that is just so sick. And, like, how each planet, too, like Frank was saying, like, kind of has its own, like, plot lines there, if you will. Like, some are heavier than others. And it just makes it fun, because, like, every time you go back, it's, like, you can go deeper into Kashyyyk and, like, get lost. Like, I feel like I got more lost on Kashyyyk than anything else. Okay. And, like, fly a random bird thing they have.
Yeah. Riding random animals is fun. And also, like, as a weird thing, as a Jedi in video games, killing random animals. Like, that's always the way, because how do you just, like, have a video game where you don't do anything? You have to fight wildlife.
Yeah, like, Kashyyyk had the worst, I feel like, the most deadly wildlife, and I'm like, how'd those Wookiees survive? Like, everything is literally poisonous and jumping on you, and, like, this is awful. Like, those jumping spiders can go to hell.
Yeah. All I kept thinking was those, like, unproduced Bad Batch arc, which was supposed to be, like, Yoda and the Bad Batch go to Kashyyyk and fight giant spiders. And I was like, this is probably what it was like, kind of.
Nightmare fuel. It's just nightmare fuel.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
My favorites are when you happen onto the mini bosses, because I didn't know they had mini bosses in the game.
Yeah, they're like,
and like you hop down one hole and there's an extra strong frog monster that eats you up in one gobble.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then like that one's like right by the beginning of the game, so I was like, look, mm-hmm. I see a treasure.
You know? They lured you right in.
Oh, man.
The Ogdo Bogdo that is, like, made for all of... Like, there's so many memes about that thing, and I'm just like, yeah. Like, the first time you encounter it, you're like, this game, I'm done. I got eaten by a frog.
I mean, it's not as bad as dying in a cutscene, but whatever.
I mean, those are two different experiences.
I don't know. I had to have my roommate come and beat him for me. He's a Dark Souls master, and I was looking for punishment, so I was playing on Grandmaster for a while. And so I had to have him come and do it for me.
I haven't touched Grandmaster. I did everything at, like, regular knight level.
If you get shot, like, once, you're done.
Yeah, that was hard enough as it is. I already said I can't do the, like, don't get touched challenge. that might be out of my wheelhouse. But it's fun. Fighting ginormous monsters. And then, like, all the cool little, like, parries and, like... I like the individual animations and finishing moves that, like, each... enemy affords you.
Yeah, there's a really good variety of them.
Yeah.
I like the level of dismemberment. I respect the choice that they didn't do dismemberment on people, but I love the the fact that, like, those really annoying rat things on Zepho that you could just split them straight in half if you do a power attack. Like, that's super satisfying. Like, I mean, I'm a Jedi and all, so it's, murder's not cool, but that was really cool.
Murder's not cool. Those rats. It's, like, kind of cool to murder.
The Purge Troopers have such an amazing design.
Yeah.
I love the Perch Trooper fights.
As like a Saber Guild person, like, we love any sort of melee combat options, not just lightsabers. Sure. So like, it's cool that they have their electro staffs.
Can we get that going? Like, I've been trying to make an electro staff. Like, I want to make Purge Troopers for Saber Guild.
I mean, we got to change standards, but, you know, that's a global question.
It would be a potentially, you could have a one-time approval for a stage show if you jump through some hoops.
Fair enough.
I know Imperial Surplus, like, has done some of those armors. So I don't know, like, what the mobility issue would be on them, but I know it looks awesome.
Rumor has it that Imperial Surplus made the ones that were, like, there at, like, E3 for, like, Lucasfilm. Is that right?
I was watching that. I was curious where those came from.
Rumors or anything like that. But, you know, I bet if it showed up on his Instagram, then it might be him.
if he immediately had a complete Surge Trooper the day after they showed up on camera for the first time.
Interesting.
I know if they look awesome, and I know he makes awesome armor, then, like, it might. I know there are other people in the world who make awesome things. But, you know, it sounds like something that's right up his alley. I know a lot of them look like recycled clone pieces.
I mean,
you know.
I mean, I like that about it, right? Because it's only 5 years after the Clone Wars.
I mean, it feels right. It feels like that's like an evolution of like, okay, like now we need ones that can fight Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. This,
but stronger.
Yeah.
And again, like, this is another piece of Star Wars canon that I like because it's filling in this gap that we have where it's like, obviously, when Order 66 comes down, not every Jedi would probably be killed instantaneously. And I like that it not only gives us, like, the space to, like, see the lore around, like, the Jedi trying to escape and, like, the ones that have escaped, but also just, like, that transition period, right? Like, what you're talking about with the Empire, too, where it's, like, they would need, like, they are hunting Jedi because they still exist. They're still out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's so good. And that, too, contrasting with, like, Seer, who is, like a fallen Jedi, right? And who's going through her own stuff and trying to, like, reboot the Jedi Order, kind of, if she can, but also is dealing with her own demons. Mm-hmm. And just, I just love that we get, like, this other separate, like, Jedi lore. And then also just the dynamics of the Mantis crew is really fun. Grease is like great and weird and funny and doesn't put up with anyone.
Dude, I just love the one random scene they put where they're kind of like arguing at the table and he's just putting salt on his food for like 10 minutes. I was just about
to bring that one up.
It's like the best, dude. And there's like not really a reason for it. And they were like, we're just going to do it. It's like, it's not going to hurt anybody. You know, like, and I just thought it was hilarious. Because it's literally the only thing I can watch every time I'm in that scene.
I love every time Marin, like, you chat with Marin on the ship. Like, her interaction with the crew later in the game. So sick.
Yeah. There's, like, a lot. I love, like, a lot of that, I do this with, like, these games, like, with this and Battlefront. I've already beat the game, and I've already done everything. So every now and then, like, if I'm doing chores or something, and I want to relive the game, and I don't want to play through 40 hours, I'll just, like, type up, like, you know, Fallen Order movie on YouTube. And, like, watch the cutscene movie. So you miss a lot of the other stuff that, like, you know, like, if you just chatted Marin up outside on Zepho, you, like, wouldn't get any of that. But you get, like, the big scenes and, like, the really cool stuff. Like, I really love one of, Sir Junda has, like, one of the dope, I think they put it in one of the trailers. And she's, like, what does she say? She's, like, we will always struggle. But it's the will to keep fighting that makes us who we are, or something like that. Like, the dopest Wednesday wisdom ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, really, like, there's some good stuff in here.
I really appreciated the connectivity, like, throughout this story that, like, allotted to, like, Star Wars as a whole. Like, I enjoy the fact that, was it Jor T'Pol? He's a Lasat. So, like, there's a little bit of love for Rebels in there, and that's really cool. I also was really happy to see, because I'm a fan of the sequel trilogy, I was happy to see that, like, Seer and, like, just the whole, like, your past having, like, being a problem and not letting it define you was, like, a really big story piece in this whole thing. So seeing, like, another failed master in the form of Seer and watching the fallout of her Ben Solo, which is kind of like Trilla, like, having those kind of connectivities, and even down to the little things of, like, oh, I'm climbing in a wrecked Star Destroyer, kind of like Rey. Yeah. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, the like parkouring and like just the basic exploration of everything was just so fun. You can like climb on walls and like call little ropes to you.
We got to talk about how BD though is like one of the best droids in Star Wars. Yeah,
BD's absolutely.
Like we rarely like we have kind of like buddy like droids, but BD is like a puppy mixed with like it's like an endless gadget. And it's just so great. And I love the dynamics too. Like literally just watching like BD against Cal and like Cal, like actually caring about this droid and like BD at one point, like hurts its little like foot and is like limping. And it's like the saddest thing I've ever seen in Star Wars. Maybe like it's up there with like one of the saddest things. Cause you have this cute little dog droid just limping.
Yeah.
Can we cut to the end of the game where, like, I spent, like, I think it's, like, the final kind of, like, build-up to the boss battle where I'm just, like, desperately afraid that they're going to try and kill off BD.
Yeah.
I'm just, like...
Yeah.
Like, I bit heavily. I was, like, mother, they're going to kill my droid.
If
like,
they kill the droid,
I'm just not going to have it.
I'm not going to finish this game.
I love the, like, the way that, like, and especially when they talk about it, they're like, hey, you know, when we come up with a droid for a game, we, like, try to figure out what we need in the game, and we, like, design a droid around that. So we needed him to have maps, we needed him to collect whatever info and to tell you where you need to go if you needed that. But I loved simple things like jumping on and off zip lines just to make BD warp to me. Things like that, and just, like, when there's, like, something to scan or something, he, like, kind of, like, runs over to it and, like, looks at it and waits for you to go over there and be like, okay, fine, scan it, BD.
But, like, best thing is BD reprogramming the K2s at some point.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is so fun, and I love it, especially because, like, watching the K2s turn from, like, trying to murder you to being like, well, I'm going to go punch these other, like, people. It's great. It's really fulfilling.
That I do that in the room full of BDs and then just watch them fight each other, you know? And then as they pummel each other and their life gets lower, then BD can hack more and more of them.
Yeah, I think BD is actually done by Ben Burtt, too.
That's interesting.
Huh? Yeah, he's the like lead sound designer that came up with lightsabers and pretty much all the sounds of Star Wars, so it's cool that they got him, too.
Ben Burtt is the dude.
The guy.
But yeah, like just his like stupid, adorable design.
So good. I think someone 3D printed a BD and like wore it like at Galaxy's Edge, and I'm like, that's a sick, like, just cool. Throw it over your shoulder, like. Yeah. The Kowaki and monkey lizards are okay. They're fine, but like I would take a BD shoulder puppet any day.
So I know that like an R2 builder built like a BD, and he was like on display at like E3, EA Play or something to promote the game. And it's sick, and, like, it can really, like, emote really well. Mm-hmm. But, like, because of the way he's built in the game, his head is massive, his legs are tiny. Like, it doesn't work as a functioning walk-around droid.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like there should be a whole spin-off of the R2 builders, which is just, like, backpack-mounted BDs. Just be cute and on your shoulder.
Yeah. I've seen a few of those ones, and, like, especially, like, the static one. But then I think I saw another one somewhere where they're building it like a puppet. So they could, like, make it run, you know, and, like, give it that personality and stuff. And it looked kind of like, you know, when you see behind-the-scenes stuff of, like, BB-8, and it's, like, some weird little guy behind it in a rig.
Yeah.
Like, turning the head this way and that, and then moving the legs. And it looked almost like, it was almost like a crossbar to where he could just wobble his wrist and, like, make the legs run. I don't know where I saw it. I mean, I'm sure it was on Instagram or just, like, some random something like that. But, like, yeah, dude, BD-1 is... wonderful, hilarious, and enjoyable. I love the I love how they used one of my favorite things in Star Wars, which is Cal's power of psychometry.
Yes.
Yeah.
As like a way of exploring the world and the stories, and really like, you know, because like the Venator is a really good example of that. Like if when you go through that wrecked Star Destroyer, like every little point you find where you put together the story of what happened on that Star Destroyer and what happened to that master and apprentice, like, that was really cool.
I really liked, too, they did a lot of that on Ilum, too. Like, first of all, we get to go to Ilum. Like, Aable, there's
so
that.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. But they have that... K2s. chaos. But then you have, like, you're following that story there, too. It's just, those little touches are so fun. Like, it just made it, again, like, to me, that's, like, kind of the inner planet lore building that they give you, where it's, like, not all of these have to, like, be 100% relevant to the game itself, mm-hmm. like, the actual main plot. But, like, that's Star Wars to me, like, these weird side stories that, like, help flesh out a world.
Right. Yeah.
No, I have a question. Is that room in Ilum, is that the one, same one that the kids have to go through in Clone Wars? Is that the same, entryway?
I would guess, yes.
I just want to get confirmation on that, because that's immediately what I thought, and I was just, like, really happy to see, like, you know, in a realistic art form, like,
yeah, I mean, like, if you spot. Want confirmation, maybe don't ask a guy on a podcast, but...
Like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
I think it looks like it to me, so I'm going
to
say
hey, to
yes.
be fair, you're the one who knows the most lore that I know.
I mean, I remember so you're my name, right?
You're my go-to guy.
Yeah. It's yeah. possible. It's also possible that there are multiple, like, on the entire planet Ilum, there's possibly multiple caves and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
I just love, like, the ice melting. Like, let's bounce sunlight through these caves, like, melted doors so we have access to stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah.
That had to, like, build the trial. Like, mm-hmm. you know. That was cool. And you had to, like, fix everything that was wrecked.
Yeah, so, and, cool. like, the puzzles, basically, in this game were really cool and refreshing, because it's, like, it wasn't just that you have to, like, bash through everything. It was, like, mm-hmm. no, sometimes it's going to be real hard, and you have to really figure out, like, how you have to, like, turn the waterfall off to then force push this thing over here and get the lantern to set this on fire to get over to this thing. You're like, well, great. I am so glad that someone wrote an IGN article about this so I could get it from them, because I couldn't figure it out over 2 days.
That's your version of psychometry.
There you go.
Listen.
She's like, I've learned from the others that came before.
But, like, speaking of Cal and, like, his stuff, I think it's funny, like, really kind of taking a step back and being like, this is basically, like, Cal going through therapy, because, like, he starts off with, like, all these repressed, like, memories and emotions. And Siri's like, don't worry. Like, we're going to rehab you, essentially. And it's just him, like, going through some weird, like, IRL therapy.
Okay. Speaking of therapy. The, like, this is one of the, like, coolest Order 66 ways of playing through that we have gotten in anything.
Oh, dude, the Order 66 stuff is, like, by the time you get to that, it's definitely, like, yeah, it's so emotionally, yeah. like, it's just, like, hits you so much harder because you've played enough to, like, get attached to everything. And
yeah. And it's like a flashback, and you're like this super awesome little like 14-year-old kid, and you're like, hey, and you like can go up and talk to the clones, and they're like, hey, little buddy, give me 5, like,
and like you know what's coming. That's like the worst part. You know what's coming, right. And it's like it also feels very much like since Clone Wars just ended, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like that timing. Same feeling where you're like, oh my god, I know it's coming, and I hate this, and like, they're friends with the clones, but oh my god, in 2 seconds, everything's gonna go to sh**. And then, like, Cal having to, like, listen to his master, and, like, as he's trying to run, and, like, hear, like, the troopers being, like, trying to figure out where he is, it's, like, it's the worst. It's terrifying.
There was so many cool, like, they did a really good job of, like, making that a thing, like, as, like, as you're escaping, like, Order 66, you're, like, little and you start to, like, parkour through ducts and stuff. So you're, like, above and you can see through the grate underneath that the clone trooper's down there and they're like, where is he? So, like, it was really cool that they, like, that's, like, somebody brainstormed that as a way of being like, hey, we can give the soldiers lines and let you see him, but, like, the story, like, they won't see you, so you could see what's happening and be horrified and scared to the core. So, like... and be all nervous that they're going to find you, but they won't find you, and it's really cool and interesting. And we can give the clones extra dialogue. Yay. Yay for everybody, right? Yay.
Yay.
Yep. Yay, 100% yay.
Yeah, but that was devastating. It was, and the same, though, like, Cal and his master's story, and then Seer and Trilla's story. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so... like, these master-apprentice relationships and, like, how they were impacted by Order 66. Like, they're so different and so good. And, like, I'm, like, the Seer Trilla story is also so emotionally fraught in its own way because of that kind of weird, like, betrayal, but, like, not betrayal. Like, right.
There's, I love the way that they've, like, done this. Like, I mean, since, like, you know, since, like, 2015, and we're getting all these, like, canon new stories and, like, these survivors of Order 66 and, like, what they've dealt with and how they're not all the same story over and over, but they are still all these people that are lost, mm-hmm. like, who just, they're just lost. Like, you have Kanan, who's, like, a bartender and a bouncer at the same bar that he's the bartender at, and also he sleeps at sometimes, you know, like, and just bouncing from every planet doing that. And then you have, like, Ahsoka trying to be like, well, I'm just going to, like, hide out on this little farm world. Oh, my goodness, stuff is happening. I can't just let this happen. You know, and then you have, like, you know, like, these stories of these people and, like, what happens to these people who step away from their, like, Jedi life and, like, what they become or what, like, how they adapt or survive. And it's just, like, I find it so fascinating and interesting. And I love that it's not just the same old, like, well, I didn't have any clones because I was, like, I was a lone soldier and I just wasn't at the temple that day. Like, you just have all these, like, used to have all these stories of, like, well, nope, I was just, I retired to a farm one time and nobody ever came to the farm.
Okay, Galen. You know? Like, is that, like, a pamphlet, like, Galen's tips for getting out of the, like,
it's a piece
for hiding out?
Lonely, I imagine.
Yeah, I think this game does a great way of kind of, like, conveying emotion and getting, like, me, like, us as the players to actually feel emotion through the game. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had a lot of Star Wars games where, like, you're just awesome and you're just the best at everything and you're so great, but, like, stormtroopers can kill you in this game.
Yeah, for sure.
Random, that's awesome. random things on the different world you go to can eat you. Like, you're not invincible, you can easily die, and you spend the entire game, like, with a decent amount of fear over all of the bad guys you're facing. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to the climax of the game, and the greatest of all big bad shows up, mm-hmm. you are afraid.
Yeah.
There is no part of you that's like, oh, I could take him. There's no part of me being like, oh yeah, Cal Kestis can totally stand here and beat Darth Vader. And I'm like, nope.
I love
that,
like, I feel like that's such a good, like, it correlates to, like, what I think a Jedi is and feels like there's a difference between being, like, a brawler and a martial artist. Like, there's a discipline and there's a knowledge and there's a focus. And this game, like, no matter how much you level up your skills and get awesome, like, you need to pay attention to what you're doing. Because if you just press this button over and over again, you're probably going to die. Like, you need to, like, watch how the opponents act, react to that, and, like, it really puts you in the moment of these fights instead of just being, like, spam, 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 triangle. Like, what I feel is a mistake that other games do, where you just, like, well, I just leveled up a bunch, and now I just press A to win.
Yep. I mean, even in one of, like, the first or early on meetups against the second sister, like, Cal is not gonna beat her, and BD has to save him by turning on that shield, right? And, oh, like, cool. Setting up that expectation, like, there are a couple fights where I'm like, oh, we aren't meant to win this, like, and I think that's really cool because it adds to the development of those characters, like Frank saying, like, you aren't just a baddie that can go through and be like, yeah, now I've won it all. It's like, no, you are not all powerful, and, like, I don't know. I just think especially the not everyone can beat Darth Vader thing is really important.
Yeah, definitely. It's
the same fear that I have when we did, what's the VR game?
Oh, The Void.
The Void. Right. Spoilers to The Void. don't know if you came here for these, but it's the same feeling there where I'm just like, when Vader comes out, I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a lightsaber, oh shit, I'm gonna die. And it's like this immediate, just like, the same feeling of like, it doesn't matter how badass my character is, like, this is Vader. Yeah. I can't beat this.
Yeah. I think Star Wars has done a really good job lately of, like, reestablishing Vader as something to be terrified of. Like, Rogue One does a great job of just, like,
definitely.
Vader is going to wreck shop.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does. I love, and by the way, just real quick, I'm, like, looking at the little wiki. And Vader in this game, the voice is done by Scott Lawrence, who is Yeager in Star Wars Resistance.
Oh, wow.
I just find that wonderful because it's another character that, like, I can't do his voice. Because he's just like, hey, Kaz, and, like, I can't do it. And that's what happens when you can't do things. Let's see, what else? Who else? Like, I am Masterino Cordova, and this is my diary, or whatever he does. Like, that was cool. Like, I like that dude, and I've seen him in, like, I used to watch this show, and it was, like, a vampire show, and it was called Kindred the Embraced. And he was, like, a really cool vampire in that show, and then I saw him on TV a lot after that. So for some reason, when he popped up, I was like, that's that dude! Like, that's that vampire! But he wasn't a vampire, though. Spoilers.
Spoilers for random stuff.
Anyway, that's my personal journey to Enor Cordova.
Hey, we don't know he wasn't a vampire.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. We can't prove that.
Right. There wasn't a body.
But even the Cordova stuff, like, again, it was another cool, like, you could get really deep into that journey. And it, like, didn't really overall impact, like, the kind of main, if you will, plot. Like, it was just, like, really cool getting deep into his, like, research and everything.
His, like, research and, like, everything else. And then there's, like, a heartbreaking scene where he's like, so, I'm going to delete your memory, BD-1, but one day you will find
that.
Like, BD-1's like, go ahead and do it. Like,
oh, so and it's, sad.
Like, ridiculous. And I'm like, why am I going to cry over this stupid vampire and this, like, little thing? Like,
this benevolent this is vampire.
Ridiculous, dude. I was just in the water freezing.
Yeah. No, like, this game is some of the best story, like, Star Wars story out in a while. It's just so good. And that's why I love that, like, it does have the story mode difficulty setting. Like, you can play it on Dark Souls craziness, or, like, you can be here to cry over the possibility of BD losing all of his memories.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fun game if you're into that, and if you are not into video games and you just like Star Wars, go to YouTube, put Jedi Fallen Order movie, and just watch it like that, because that's what it is. It's like, this is like up on par, just like I think the story for Battlefront 2 is like up on par with anything that's out there, any of the Star Wars films or TV shows or anything like that. And like enjoying the story of it is super enjoyable. That's how that
it is, though. I mean, really and is. Again, like I said earlier, like I wanted to play this, like even though I hadn't played any PS4. So I think I picked up Battlefront once, and like it was just chaos. It was bad. It was like a toddler. And I wanted to play this because I was like, okay, this is cool, like specifically Jedi stuff. But like the deeper I got in, the more I was just like, I want to spend time like getting good at like a console so like I can get into this story, just because it was so rewarding the deeper you got into it.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's that like rewardingness that feels like it, like, because the game is so exploratory and you have like the psychometry stuff and then you also unlock new jackets and stuff like that, which is like great. But also, like, what really, like, is a lot of fun was, like, filling out my data bank entries. Like, having BD-1 scan every single dead body I found. Having, like, you know, like, figuring out those stories and getting all the force backs or the flashbacks visions from every time you can use your powers, you know, to, like, figure out the story of what happened. Oh, like, these guys were, like, refugees and trying to escape the planet, but the dad got killed by a stormtrooper and the other ones died in a cave. That sucks. Or whatever, like, you know, like, but putting together that stuff.
Ooh, depressing.
Like, was super fun.
But also, like, getting the, like, collecting all the saber parts was just so good. Like, I feel like every time we got another saber part, it was like, we have to get to a table now. Find because table. I need to see how this looks.
We need to go back to the Mantis.
But it was also good that they had the tables for fixing your saber, like changing it throughout the game. Because I was just like, if I have to go all the way back to my ship, I'm dead.
Since there was no fast travel.
There's no way getting back to your ship.
Yeah. These little workbenches or whatever.
Also, I love that they unlocked all of the premium content for everybody. Like, I guess there was pre-order exclusive stuff. And like that was one of my favorite things, cracking open the game one day and being like, oh, new lightsaber crystal. Ooh, new, like, matching lightsabers that I've never seen before. These are great.
I saw that, like, that was not too long ago. And it was, like, one of those things to where I remember going, like, oh, limited edition? Like, what's that? You know, like, it's a yellow BD-1 skin and, like, a new saber part. And I was like, I don't need that. There's going to be plenty of sabers. And then when I get to the end of the game and I have everything, I'm like, I'm still missing like two sabers, huh? And then when it unlocked, I was like, sweet, I saved $5, or whatever it was.
I really appreciate how much Respawn made it so that everything feels earned. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to have it handed to you. Like, you know, if you take the time to go explore and find these parts, they're yours. And that's, or like, you know, to learn the techniques and everything. It just all feels so grounded. And it's really, really refreshing from a lot of the games I've played recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the Jedi game that I've wanted. So I'm hoping, like, if those rumors pan out and we get, like, Jedi Fallen Mortar.
Fallen Mortis.
Jedi Rise of the Order. Star Wars Jedi New Order. Star Wars Jedi Order Other Order.
Rising from the ashes of the Fallen Order comes a new...
Star Wars